What are you afraid
what
of?
What are you afraid of?
Being alone in a dark basement?
A ghost story that feels all too real?
An object rumored to be cursed?
That mist you saw rising from the shadows?
Or is it the things you can't see? The things that lurk in the darkness?
The terrors that come only when the lights go out?
It's time to journey back into your childhood.
To the stories that kept you up every night.
The stories that make you come face to face with your darkest fears.
The stories that make you ask,
Are you afraid of the podcast?
Submitted for the approval of the podcast community, welcome to another episode of Are You Afraid of the Podcast? I'm Sarah Baltusevich Geckner.
And I'm Jeremy Geckner.
It's time for dinner. It's not Campbell's or Progresso chicken noodle soup tonight. No. This soup is dangerous.
And hello, everyone, and welcome back to the campfire in another episode of Are You Afraid of the Podcast, your Are You Afraid of the Dark Breakdown retrospective from the Front Row Network on NPR Illinois. I am Jeremy Geckner, and here with me, as always, the lovely, the awesome, there's just no way around it, the notorious SBG herself, Sarah Baltusevich Geckner.
Hey, that was a lot of introductions.
It's what you need. You need to embrace your nickname, Sarah. Like the fans gave it to you.
I've had way too many nicknames in my life. I'm good.
Not like that one, I'll bet.
Sarah Baltusa, bitch, I think it was.
Ah, yes. The natural tendency there. You know, Sarah, got me thinking. There was we have a renegade person online right now that keeps trying to spread this crazy rumor that it's a leprechaun in the attic in the opening of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I got to say, sir, we settled this. We settled this by fan vote, and the hobo won. So,
well, that was an incorrect vote.
No, I'm just saying, look, do we need to reopen this again? Do we need to put this to a new vote?
Has something changed in the world? You obviously cannot stand it. And I mean, I've let it go. I should be the one being like, hey, somebody else said leprechaun. Hey, and I don't. I don't even care.
I want to bask in my victory, but the people continue to tell me that I'm not victorious. And I need a definitive statement from the fans here.
You need to grow a pair and just quit. Quit with this, because it's been like 2 years since this started, and I'm done with it.
Yeah. Well, victory still sounds sweet. It still tastes sweet as well. So,
well, it's not true. So it's fine. Just live with it.
Hey, I tried to split the difference. I tried to split the baby wisely, like King Solomon, and call it a hobocon, but you would not have it.
Because it's not. But okay. That's not a thing. But I'm not doing this. If you do this on every episode, I'm not going to be on anymore.
Anyway, Sarah, what do we have for dinner tonight?
Pasta.
Yeah, we had some. It wasn't some soup of some kind. Maybe a treacherous bowl of something there.
Good try, but no.
No.
It was pasta.
Well, if you can't tell everyone, we are closing out season 3 of Are You Afraid of the Dark here with the tale of the dangerous soup. An episode that I remember really liking as a kid, thinking that it was pretty cool, not just for the reoccurrence of a beloved character, but what did you remember about this one before we started it, Sarah?
Sidney Prescott.
yeah. Young Neve Campbell here.
Sporting some sweet floral vests and a sweet pink mock turtle.
Yes, the mock turtle game is strong in this episode.
Rocking out. She also has some very nice floral scarves that she wears throughout.
And floral vests, I think you said.
I already said that. But
yeah,
yes.
So good stuff there. But yeah, I remember that too. It's just like, because once you see Scream, you're just kind of like, oh, hey, this is where she got bit by the bug here, I guess. But this is, I actually, watching it again, I really, really like this episode. I think this is a cool, cool episode.
Yeah, I think I just have to like, the show does not age great.
Well, sure, okay. It's like early 90s kids TV production.
That's
values,
why I have to be like, okay. I think I've just seen way too many horror movies that are just like, I'm just like desensitized to anything scary.
Sure, but yeah, I mean, I guess the idea behind this one is pretty clever and pretty great.
It's good. It's
yeah,
good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into all of that. So, so what do you say we just dive right in here? Because We got a pretty cool episode here. So we open up on the Midnight Society, and Frank is asking all of the members of the Midnight Society here what scares them the most.
Heights. I'm not good with heights. I get sick.
Dogs. I was bitten when I was a kid. Anytime I see one, I cross the street. Birds.
Birds?
I'm afraid they're going to fly in my face or something.
Sam doesn't like
birds.
They're
going to fly in her face.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with Tucker here when he says...
Weird.
So, why don't you talk to Tippi Hedren about that?
Yeah, Tippi Hedren has some stuff to say there, Tucker. They can hurt you real good.
Yeah, the birds can literally kill you.
Yeah, the birds can... Yeah. There's a whole movie about it.
Really? Before,
that you could have watched, Tucker.
really?
So, and then we get to Betty Ann, and she says that she is afraid of her attic and that she can't go up there on her own. And this leads to a very interesting conversation because they, you know, ask, okay, Frank, well, what about you? Well, first we get Tucker, who says, like...
Slasher movies!
Doesn't count.
Cheap. What can I say? I'm not afraid of anything.
Come on, Tucker.
Ew.
Just be cool. Could you just be cool once? Just once. So then Tucker is basically trying to goad on Frank. Like, well, okay, well, what are you scared of?
And he owns up that he's scared of the dark.
It's no secret. I'm afraid of the dark.
Yes, he admits it.
Here's the thing about this, and I mentioned this to you when we were watching, is just like, here's my big problem with Frank. When he's telling a story, he's fantastic, and he's got great insight, and he's acting like a normal human. But then when he's not, he's just a big joke in these campfire segments.
Well,
and
that's
got to
be the
that.
Point, though, because they wouldn't keep him around if he didn't tell good stories.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's just, like, his whole demeanor changes, you know? It's just like, Jason Alshahan here is like does a really good job
well,
of setting
up. He's a
player, up. Yeah, but I mean, like, he does a great job of setting up these stories. Like, his intros are always really, really good. And
why
it's
are you
like,
getting so upset about it?
Because justice for Frank is why, okay? He got a bucket of water dumped on his head the last
he's
time.
He's a D-bag.
And now maybe he learned his
just
lesson.
Just because he tells good stories. Doesn't mean he's not a D-bag.
Oh, well.
I know plenty of people that are talented at things, but they're still D-bags.
Yeah, that's true as well. But either way, this opening is very good. And, you know, like he really gets into some good, like, kind of therapy stuff right here. It's just like,
we've all got something that scares us, even though it shouldn't. You know, there's nothing in the attic that can get you. You know, a bird can't hurt you. But there's still some dark place inside that makes your hands sweat. And your mouth go dry. My story's about fear. The kind that's different for everyone. The kind that you have to face up to. Or it'll eat you alive.
Again, just really, really good, deep, insightful stuff here before we kick in. What'd you think of this?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. One of the better openings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ties in pretty well.
Yeah.
The other ones are kind of lame, so this one's pretty good.
Yeah, right to the point there. So, so then we're throwing some midnight dust, and we are off with the tale of the dangerous soup.
Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story The Tale of the Dangerous Soup.
So you talked about it. This episode stars a young Nev Campbell as Nani.
Nani Walker.
We are back to the weird name parade on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
There's another one that's going to be coming up in this episode. But yeah, she is the first face we see in this episode as we get kind of a first person perspective of people walking through the doors of a restaurant.
The wild boar. Yeah. She has a nice, blouse, scarf, combo.
You're just all about the fashion in this episode.
Oh, man, it's because it's awesome. It's just awesome. I think she says later in the episode that she's like the hostess, like a part-time bookkeeper.
But
she's like 15.
Yeah. How old is she supposed to be?
I would say like, yeah, high school.
Do you think
age.
They're in high school or do you think we're like college age here?
No, definitely high school.
Yeah. Okay. So definitely high school and she's running the books on a business. That's pretty impressive. But either way, so we get this first person perspective of somebody walking into the wild boar and walking to the table.
It's a nice upscale restaurant.
Yeah. It looks very fancy. Very like people in
white
suits,
tablecloths.
White tablecloths, you know, women in dresses, lots of old people. That's how you
it's
know.
It's early bird dinner crowd.
Yeah, exactly. So,
hello. Welcome to the Wild Boar. Your table's ready.
Bon appetit.
finally, we ditch this first-person perspective that we've been in here, and we see the people that we've been seeing the restaurant through, and they're sitting down as Nani tells them bon appetit, and then we are introduced to the server named
Joyzy.
Jersey, okay. It's not a name.
It's not a good name.
Not a name,
she
guys.
She's also super annoying.
She is super annoying. More on that in a bit. So she goes up offering to tell the specials to these people. They're like,
hi, we have specials tonight.
Don't bother. We came for the soup.
Oh. What a surprise.
So then we finally get back there, and we see that there's, like, this soup is, like, literally the biggest part of this restaurant, and he charges $100 a bowl for it.
He does, but I just want to point out that you did miss the very beginning.
I did miss the very beginning. Damn. Okay, so let's do a rewind, okay? Okay, so we open the episode with a guy in, I guess, just what can only be described as a torture room. You know?
He's got, like, these two giant fans and like this stone seat.
I mean, I guess it's supposed to be like a fridge or a freezer or something
like
that,
a walk-in
freezer. Yeah. So yeah, we've got these big cooling fans over in the corner, but very little light. And we hear a voice telling this guy to sit down. And as he does sit in this chair that's in the middle of the room, all of a sudden this piece of wall goes up and we see this weird gargoyle-like statue. And we hear the voice saying,
"It knows what scares you.
Come on.
It knows what scares you."
Then we see all of a sudden this guy starts freaking out because a giant snake starts like crawling up up his body and stuff. And this freaks him out quite a bit. We hear
him
scream.
Then he just like pieces out.
Yeah, and then as the wall goes back into place, putting the gargoyle back behind, then we get into the couple going through the wild boar. Thank you. Fast forward back. Okay, and we're back now. So so Jersey, we find out here, doesn't like knives because somebody spills a tub of knives, which is just I've worked in a restaurant. You've worked in a restaurant. Yeah. There's tubs of knives everywhere.
Yeah, just, dangerous tubs of knives for you to put your fingers in.
Yeah, just lying around all over the place.
Yeah, you have to risk your life every time.
Hashtag
you need a knife.
tub of knives. maybe that's the Knives Out sequel.
I remember you just being like, how do you eat steak?
Yeah, because she literally turns and is like,
I'm not picking those up. I don't touch knives, okay?
Yeah, how do you eat meat?
All knives or just like butcher knives? Like, do you use butter knives?
Yeah, exactly. Do you butter toast? do you use a spoon? What? Like, how does this work, Jersey? Anyway, Jersey then tries to sneak a taste of this soup. And Nani rightfully chastises her and says, just like, hey, you know that if he catches you, you're going to get fired. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically you're just getting a lot of shots of like everyone in the restaurant eating this like Nickelodeon slime looking soup.
Yeah, we cut to a bunch of close-ups of people eating it.
I was going to say, I think the scariest part about this episode is like the nasty visual, just like the close-up of people like eating. Like they're eating it like, oh.
Yeah, people eating is just inherently
a gross
thing.
I know, but like
they're
eating it really gross because it's like really good. It's like, it's almost like orgasmic. It's kind of weird. Yeah, and it's all old people too, so it's like,
ugh, nobody wants to see that.
There's lots of teeth and like sloppy, goopy soup going down throats. It's not great.
God, man. If we haven't sold the episode yet, that had to have done it. Yeah. So then after this little montage.
There's no seconds.
Yeah, so after this montage, Jersey brings the couple from the beginning the soup. They ask if they can order seconds now, and she relishes in telling them,
could we order a second serving now?
Sorry, one per customer.
And they have this look of just like,
Yeah, because it's literally like one of those like kind of like flat bowls.
Yeah, there can't be that
much
depth to this bowl.
No, so you're literally getting like 5 bites of soup for a freaking $100.
For $100, so this guy's raking it in. And who on earth could this chef be? Well, as luck would have it, he comes right out to bask in all the glory of his adulation. And who is it, Sarah, but...
Your admiration of my humble fare is most appreciated.
It's Dr. Vink.
It's a Vinkquake! That's right, Vinkquake. Hashtag.
That's not a thing.
That's a thing now. So, yes, this is Dr. Vink, our old friend, coming back, of course, because Frank's story. Frank uses the recurring character of Dr. Vink. And apparently he's a bomb ass chef now. Sure.
He wears like a weird like metal around. It looks like a metal around.
Yeah, it's some kind of weird
it's like
metal.
A measuring cup. Like it's,
maybe it is a measuring
cup. It's weird. Yeah. Like it's on a ribbon, but it's like.
You get the sense that it's got to be some kind of award, right? Like some kind of cooking award.
I don't know. Like also like all of the instruments in his kitchen look like ancient.
Yeah. Well, that tracks because look, what do we know about Dr. Vink? He's a freaking mad scientist. He's a prolific filmmaker. And now he's apparently an award-winning chef. So Vink can do whatever the hell he wants, I suppose.
I suppose.
But yeah, so this is basically, you know, he just says something about like being so grateful for everybody. Yeah. And then we cut back to Nani cooking the books there for Dr. Vink. At again, it's bold to have a teenage bookkeeper because Vink just
doesn't
care.
Why? Oh,
okay.
Trying to get around some stuff.
Come on. Anyway, so this is where we get introduced to our other main character, Reed. And Reed is just the epitome of the bad boy
cool
90s
guy.
Look. Why don't you describe Reed a little bit,
He's
Sarah?
Got like a sweet, like a shoulder length haircut.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like the denim hoodie jacket. Kind of like what's his butt had in the Crimson Clown.
Definitely.
And he's just, you can tell, like, he is a hard ass.
Yeah, he's seen some stuff. This guy grew up on the other side of the tracks.
He's like he comes in, he's like,
I'm looking for the wild boar.
You found it. You hear about the job?
Yeah.
Great. I'm Nani Walker, hostess and part-time bookkeeper.
Reed Hanson.
Yeah, he's very subdued in his line delivery, but that doesn't stay that way. So that is a choice, and I appreciate it. Played by Greg Haberny here, and you know, it's you do get the sense of just like this is a loner guy. You know, like he's not easily shaken by anything.
It's basically the Are You Afraid of the Dark equivalent of like a bad biker.
Bad biker, dude. And he's a lone wolf. He goes on his own. But so this is where
he definitely goes to high school on the bad side of town.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he definitely tore some Levi's in his time. So there is Nani's trying to explain to him about the place. He said he's done a lot of jobs, like, and he basically is just worried about, you know, what's it like to work there. He says it's okay. And that, you know, it's run by Dr. Vink. She says the doctor, Dr. Vink, and he, of course, we have to get the joke in every time.
Dr. Vink is kind of...
Dr. Fink?
Vink with a V, V, V.
This is great, though, because Nani preempts the...
She does it for him.
She does it
know
for him.
Vink with a V, V, V.
Yeah, it's so weird because it's like, yeah, Dr. Vink always has to correct people of that, and it's funny that somebody else is doing it. So we get the implication that he said this many, many times around her.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny.
She basically just gives
there.
Him the server job without any, like...
Well, and it's because Dr. Vink wants him too, because, you know, as he's, you know, trying, he's kind of like Reed's just doing like.
So, what is he? Is he a doctor or is he a cook?
To those sage enough to know, I am a chef. A cook feeds the stomach. A chef nourishes the soul.
He's not a cook, he's a chef.
Yes, exactly. And we get some great flowery language here from Vink about how a chef feeds the soul and a cook feeds the stomach, stuff like that. But yeah, Vink here, he's like not very... he's not like upset that this guy kind of like talks back to him or isn't impressed by him at all. He's very intrigued by Reed's kind of non-reaction to all his
unshakableness.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think he sees that. I think later we can talk about it later the
yeah.
reason why. But
yeah, exactly. But it's kind of interesting. So you know, Vink goes back, shows Reed in his kitchen and such, which you're right looks just ancient. Of course, like Vink, he's probably 1,000 years old himself.
He lets him have a taste.
Right. He lets him have a taste of the specialty of the restaurant.
Because they all get to try it one time.
Yeah, the dangerous soup.
Taste.
What is it?
Specialty of the house. Le potage dangereux.
The dangerous soup. Taste.
It's pretty good.
My friend, the flavor dances over the palate in a symphony of sensation. That's far from pretty good.
How dare you, sir.
Nani's like, it's $100 a bowl.
Yeah, and Reed's reaction is the best.
And he charges $100 a bowl.
Get out of here.
Yes, Reed. That is how we all feel about that. So, yeah, he wants another taste, and he's, like, really kind of just like, let me have another taste.
It's
like,
please, kind of
sir.
Pouty.
Yeah, it's kind of a pouty ask, but, yes, Vink says...
One taste. educate the palate. Try to sneak another, and I guarantee you'll regret it.
You don't scare me.
Perfect! You'll do nicely.
Scares me. His teeth are literally getting more decrepit as he continues on the show.
Can't be said enough. The late Aaron Tager, just so great. Every episode he's in, he is so great. So anyway, Reed gets the job, and we get some voiceover from Frank talking about how it was a fine place to work, everything. You know, he would never let anybody help him with any job, no matter what. We see Nani try to help him with a big old stack of garlic or something.
Onions or something,
Yeah, but he wouldn't let her do it. And he kept carrying it himself. I mean, and Frank tells us that
it was an okay place to work, except every once in a while somebody would just quit.
Except for him.
No reason. They'd suddenly take off and never look back. Strange.
So you asked me at the beginning of the episode, you know, like, is Vink like, are these people like dying in this fear room of whatever?
Yeah. But then after we see this Jersey part coming up, it kind of gets explained a little better.
And plus we get with the person walking out while Frank is doing this voiceover, we get the sense they're not dying in there. He's just scaring them to a point or making them uncomfortable, since there might be some mind erasing happening here too, that, you know, they just decide to quit.
That's why Reed got the job, because the guy from the beginning quit.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically after this, Jersey gets brought back to the kitchen.
Yes. Well, yeah, now we're in the one night. So we've spanned a couple of days at least or something. But judging by a conversation that Reed and Nani have later, you get the sense that there's some amount of time that's passed here. So maybe a couple weeks, something like that.
Sure.
We get to this one part of the episode, and Reed is basically, he's as he's putting some dishes away, he decides, okay, I'm going to, you know, sneak a taste again. And he gets it. He gets the elusive second taste. And he's going back for a third. I'm like, greedy, man. Greedy.
But he's
wants that soup, man.
Also, does this restaurant make anything else?
Yeah, I know. Because they were giving menus earlier in the episode when the people were like, nope, we're here for the soup.
But you don't see any other food produced in the entire episode.
Yeah, exactly. So is the menu alive?
Now, was it insulting if you order chicken fingers?
Yeah, I know. Right? do you have a burger?
Yeah, I don't have $100 for a bowl of soup, and I'm kind of hungry.
I got a $12 burger-ish type thing here. So as Vink discovers Reed here, and he's about to bust him, but Nani covers for him.
This is good.
What are you doing? Did you taste my soup?
No, he didn't. He was just cleaning the stove.
And then, of course, here she comes to wreck the day. Jersey is back, and she is super ticked off that Vink is making her wash dishes.
Yeah, he doesn't want her waiting tables anymore because apparently the customers have complained that she's too loud.
Yes, exactly. And then, again, just one of the best moments of the episode.
Loud? Loud?
This girl deserves, man, what's coming to her.
Feeling it. Feeling herself. Here.
Really, though.
Played by the great Tracy Davis there. While this is happening, while Vink and Jersey are arguing, Nani and Reed are out in the dining room area. There's no customer, so I guess it's after closing.
Yeah.
And Reed's basically saying thank you to her for covering, but then he's also trying to tell her,
I've always had to do things on my own. And I'm not used to people being very nice to me. And, I'm sorry.
Basically, about to tell her that he's, you know, he's macking on her.
Yeah, he's feeling it. He wants to take her to...
He wants to pin her.
He wants to pin her.
JK.
Going steady, folks. As this is going on, as Reed is confessing, Jersey is back there, and Vink basically says,
please, my dear, you misunderstand. By transferring you to the kitchen, I was planning on making you my protege.
You're kidding.
She's like, what?
No. Maybe she is from Jersey. Maybe they
she's
just.
She's terrible. She's like, I mean, she just needs to be chewing a big wad of gum to make it better. Like,
I know. Right?
Okay.
That would have been way better.
Yeah. So he, like, starts to show her back to this, like, the room, to which she responds, like, we don't use this freezer.
Yeah, there's nothing in there. And he entices her with, like, you want to know the secret of my soup?
It's in here.
It's in here.
She's like,
man, you are the strangest.
Again, Tracy Davis, just fantastic work here. Vink has her sit down at the seat again. And again, same little shtick here. The gargoyle figure comes out of the
wall.
And
always Vink is looking through, like, the little awkward, like, square slidey hole in the door, which I've never seen a freezer with one of those.
No, sure. That had to be custom made.
Yeah, and he, like, watches as it happens.
It knows what scares you.
But then this is a very stark visual here. So, you know, like, snakes, yes, okay. But this thing, like, literally the seat, like, the back of the seat literally folds back. And we get, like, this freaking, like, Edgar Allan Poe, like, the pendulum thing of this giant swinging blade.
It's like
that's just,
Saw 6 style.
Yeah. Well, like I said, pit in the pendulum, yeah, man. So yeah. For all those classic literary people. But, yeah, like, and I was just thinking to myself, yeah, that's scary as hell. So this led us to wonder, like, how is this happening? So obviously this thing is magical of some kind, this artifact, this statue.
So,
but yeah,
is that knife really there, or is she just seeing it? Like, does it just get into their head and make them see what they fear?
Yeah, like if the illusion wasn't broken at a certain point, would that knife literally have harmed her?
I mean, I get, because, like, when we get to read, like, in a little bit, like, what he sees, like, that obviously could not have been there. So right. It has to be in his head.
Yeah. So I'm assuming this is magical powers.
Yeah,
and I think he even calls it a magical talisman later in the episode.
Yeah, but, like, Nani and Reed hear Jersey screaming.
Yeah.
So they come running.
What are you doing?
No. You can't.
Open the door.
Well, open it.
And Reed, again, just showing the B-A-R-E here. He's just like, open it up now. And, like, Vink finally looks back in there. He sees that the talisman gets sucked back into the wall. The knife, like, goes away. And he's just like, fine, go ahead. Who's stopping you?
Yeah, so when they open the door, Jersey comes out. And she kind of just, like, they're, like, asking if she's okay. And she's like,
what happened? Well, you were screaming.
I was?
Yeah.
Man, it's like I blanked or something. I need to get out of here.
Jersey.
Yeah, because Nani even said, like, you know, you were screaming. We all know what happened. It's like, oh, man, yeah, like a head rush or something like that.
So it
said that,
like,
she has to get out of here.
Erase, like, they must not remember.
Yeah, well, that's...
I mean, it has to be, because otherwise these people would be going around to, like, the police, like, this dude's, like, got this weird gargoyle thing, and he's like...
and it almost cut me in half in some way.
Yeah, so it must be some kind of mind eraser kind of situation.
Yeah, exactly, which makes sense, because, you know, we're dealing with magic there. So she's running out, though. You know, Nani and Reed are left there with Vink, and Reed's finally just,
you better start talking, pal.
You intrigue me, lad. You're not like the others. I believe it's time to share the secret of my soup.
This is where we're getting Vink finally explaining, and he says that in his travels, he met a tribe of people who were feared, but they never raised a blade in anger.
For they had a weapon far more powerful, a statue, a talisman, enchanted with an incredible power.
Powerful magical talisman that would literally make the fears of their enemies manifest before them and make them quivering messes. And that not only would it do that, but it would also extract that fear into a liquid form.
So Nani deduces that
when you taste my soup, you're tasting fear. And that's a taste you won't soon forget.
That's why everyone quits. You've been scaring them to get the ingredient.
So this is the secret ingredient
that
Vink says.
So does
fear
taste good?
Apparently $100 worth. But yeah, that's what he says. Like, you know, when you are tasting my soup, you're tasting fear, and that's not a taste you soon forget. Yeah, I don't know what fear tastes like. For some reason, I guess it's got to be salty in my mind.
Sure.
Maybe some
does
kinda...
different. Does it diff? Like, if the person fears, like,
I know, is it more potent in some way?
Yeah. Does the soup taste different depending upon what the person's fear is?
Yeah, because we see when Jersey is in the room there, we have this little cabinet. on the wall.
Where
then
the fear drips out.
Yeah, there's like this little potion vial. Bottle. Yeah, this vial there. You know, like basically, you know, Nani, you're right. Figures out you're using the fear, all of us to extract fear.
Now, is there other stuff in the soup besides fear?
I think that's just it. That's it. Just water and fear. That's
but
it.
But the vial is like the size of a drip. I mean, you got to have something, you know, to pad the fear.
Well, that's what he says. You know, one drop is enough to make your heart race and stuff like that. But
one
basically,
drop makes a whole batch.
Yeah, but basically, Reed is just like, dude, this isn't real. Tell me you're not falling for this stuff. And so Vink is just lays down the gauntlet. He's like,
I told you before, you don't scare me.
And let's see what does. Shall we?
So, you know, Nani doesn't want him to go in. He's like, come on, let's just get out of here. And I'm like, well, you better go with Nani, man. Let's don't. Yeah,
okay,
you know.
All right.
Anyway, so, but Reed literally says, he's like,
no, someone's got to stand up to this guy.
Somebody's got to take
this
guy down.
This is my house.
Down.
I have to defend it.
So Reed gets himself in the room there. And he's not having it, you know, he's just finally sitting there. But this is another interesting aspect of this episode is that as the talisman comes out and it starts, you know, doing its glowy, smoky thing, then all of a sudden Vink starts narrating Reed's fear because he says,
I'm seeing a scared little boy. I'm often.
I'm not buying this.
Raised by an uncle. He was a cruel man. Who treated you very harshly. What happened to him, lad?
And so as he says, what happened to him, all of a sudden a casket emerges in the room. And this is when Reed finally starts freaking out.
So does the talisman make Vink able to see the fear?
Yeah, and so is Vink just regularly psychic? Does the talisman let him do that? How did that connection get made?
Yeah, I don't know, because he doesn't do that for the other...
No, this is the only time it happens, so it's very fears. Weird. I'm very, very intrigued to hear what other, you know, our fans have to say about that, because this is something I've wondered a lot.
He sees the casket, and Reed's like, no way.
Yeah, and so Vink tells him, go on, and as Reed goes in there, he opens up the casket, and there it is, his dead uncle, right there in front of him, except then all of a sudden it's a...
He opens his eyes and he's like, the claw!
Yeah, and he like grabs his shirt and everything. He's by there and Reed is freaking out at this point. He's screaming and stuff.
So Nani
finally just like... The door opens and we see a bunch of smoke and a bunch of light and the talisman literally flies out the door
with
of the restaurant.
Really, really good special effects.
Great special
Fantastic.
Effects. Vink is now freaking out. He's like, you let it out. Oh no. You know, like,
Nani's
can...
like, oh, so you're saying that thing can just go terrorize the whole town now?
And yeah. Vink's it could just like feed at will is what he says. And that he has to stop it. And he just hopes he's not too late and he doesn't know how to stop it too. This might be a ruse. I think this might be Vink putting on a ruse here, but we'll talk about that at the end of the episode. So basically now, like, you know, Vink gets out of there, but as Nani and Reed try to leave, the talisman is there in the door. It won't let them leave. And it's like going to town on their fears now. They breaks this window that they're near. A snake comes in.
Yeah.
And as they're trying to run away from the snake, Nani gets kind of like, I don't know, like force pushed into the room. And the door closes, and as Reed's trying to, you know, talk her through,
yeah,
it
he's basically
can't get
just
it open.
Telling her, like, okay, just don't, like, just clear your head, like, don't be afraid of anything, don't think about what you're afraid of,
right.
Like, it's basically like the Harry Potter Boggart situation, just like, don't think about it, and if you do, just like, make it funny,
right?
Just like, get it out of your brain, and then Nani's like,
no, you don't understand, I hate closed places, it's the room that scares me.
And then as she says, the room is what scares me, then all of a sudden the room, the wall
straight
starts,
up trash compactor,
Star
yeah, Wars Star style.
Wars trash compactor style. But I was just like, oh, that's not fair. Like, that's just playing dirty there.
Yeah.
But as she's freaking out, Reed is trying to tell her, you know, like, you know, it's not real. It can't hurt you. You got to face your fear.
Face your fear.
So as he's going back out into the hall, he sees the casket. It's now upright, just standing upright. And dead uncle man uses his hand and opens it up. And as he's slowly walking toward Reed, Reed continues to say,
not real. You're an illusion.
Help me!
Get away from me!
again, I think this is actually really good acting. I think it's a pretty damn good scene here. But yeah, Reed finally is just like, I'm not going to let you haunt me anymore. And he like goes to lunge at his dead uncle there, but he just disappears. Yeah, and this also, I guess, breaks the spell for Nani, too, because as Reed goes back to the room, it's no longer closing in on her. He goes in there with her and says,
I don't think Vic's going to be making any more of his dangerous tomb.
That's where you're wrong, my friend. It still knows what scares you.
I'll be making soup forever.
And so then all of a sudden we see that the talisman is back in the wall. Vink is laughing his butt off over in the corner there.
I plan on being in business a long, long time.
So this is like, was letting the talisman out like a part of Vink's ruse to get these two scared?
I don't know if it was a happy coincidence or if like,
because if so, then he trapped it again somehow.
Yeah, but the ending loses me a little bit. Like,
yeah, it loses
off,
me a little.
How
too.
Did he trap it again? How did he get it back in there? Because they were in there, and also like, is he like keeping them? Is he keeping them captive to feed off their fears? But they beat it, so their fear they don't really.
Yeah, so they know
they don't have
they know
fears
the,
to feed off.
They know
of.
The cheat code here. So,
right, so it's just kind of, I don't know, the ending's a little.
Yeah, it's strange. It's a strange ending there. No, don't get me wrong, it's like it's a nice, sinister, non-happy ending. But
you know, if you have any ideas about what the ending might signify,
yeah.
Let us know.
Join the convo.
Yeah, it's very, very odd ending.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. I don't think it detracts too much from the episode as a whole.
No, but I feel like it
could have
just been like a situation where like, you know, they were like, we beat him, blah, blah, blah. Then they go walking out of the restaurant, and then you just see Vink back in the restaurant, like, with the talisman, like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he needed to, I don't know.
As long as he was saying, oh, no, I'll be fine with him.
Oh, no.
Yes, exactly. So the implication, Vink wins, the talisman wins. I guess Nani and Reed never go get to Mac on each other, and they just stay afraid in the room forever?
I don't know. That's like... Aida buried together for a situation.
That kind of is. That is an Aida situation.
That's a little even dark for Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, exactly. So we cut back to the Midnight Society. Everybody tells Frank how good the story was. Tucker is once again like, okay, so like, what's in the box? And that's the other thing. Frank's had this box there with him the whole time that he hasn't explained,
like,
but it's got a hole in the top of it. And so Frank, yeah, he looks and he's just like,
that's right. Nothing scares you, does it? Maybe you should be the first to, reach into the unknown.
What's in it?
What's the difference? You're not scared of anything anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Forget it.
And as Tucker runs away, everybody asks, what's in the box? Yeah,
exactly what Tucker's afraid of. Nothing.
Nice. Nicely done, Frank.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Tight.
So, yeah, we put out the campfire, and we are all running away there, and that is the end of our episode. So, bigger things in this story here. So, obviously, what are we dealing with this story?
So, what I was going to say earlier, like, after Reed's, like, little interview, like, do you think the reason that, like, Vink is so interested in him is that, like, the people that, like, promote that they're like tough guys and not really afraid of anything, when you do get the fear out of them, like, it's more potent?
I mean, I would stand to logical reason, right? Like, if you're not an easily scared person,
yeah, like,
when
like
you
a
are
little
scared
weedy,
it'd be
scaredy cat, like, I feel like you'd be like a weaker batch of soup. But when you're getting fear out of someone who, like, you know,
put it in perspective here. If, for those of you who don't know, Sarah, when she's going through like haunted houses in Halloween, that's something you used to do before the world was shut down. But she is literally, anytime we go with a group of friends, she is literally always the first one to go through, because
everyone
those
makes
things
me.
Do not scare her at all. She is just, she walks through these things. She's just like, ah, hey, cool, chainsaw. You know, like, you are like the least scared person there.
Yeah.
So yes, like, if you were in that room and stuff, and they got the fear out of you. Yeah, I think it would be like a more potent version of that
than
fear.
Someone who's just like really scared of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking. Like, when Reed comes, like, that's the reason that he just like so quickly hires him, even though he like insults him because,
well, yeah,
he's like,
and I think
oh,
he,
I can make a really good batch of soup.
Yeah. And I think he also is genuinely intrigued, you know, like he sees a kid there that, apparently Vink is psychic. So maybe he sees like the past and sees that this guy's a little hardened and not.
Yeah. I mean,
easily...
I'm assuming that's what his intrigue was though. Like, oh, so is this guy really not afraid of anything or like,
yeah, let's see if we can, let's see if we can crack this nut here, right, so to speak. Right. Yeah. But I love the idea of this episode because it literally is, it's not one thing. It's literally, what are you most afraid of? And that is what's there. And so that's a universal symbol for everybody of scared things. Kind of like Gary, I'm not very good with heights. You know, like, heights kind of freak me out a lot.
Like,
you know,
but what if you're like my, I'm like scared of dying. So what if that's your fear?
Yeah, exactly. What does that manifest?
It's not
as?
What I'm not scared of dying of something, just like the thought of dying, period. So what do you, how does that manifest itself?
It's a good question. Maybe you're just in black.
In a coffin or something?
A,
I don't know.
Trapped in a coffin, maybe? I don't know. That's
what if you're scared
question.
Of, like, clowns?
Well, I guess Zeebo the Clown shows up. or the Crimson Clown, I guess. Maybe both. But yeah, like that, I just love that, the idea of that because, you know, it's a statue. It can't be, it can only be scary to a point. But if a statue literally in the presence of it makes you always see what you're most afraid of, that is a terrifying thought, you know? Like if you were constantly seeing your worst fear.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how it manifests itself too. Because how the fear manifests itself in the room. Like, what if Jersey's afraid of a knife? I mean, a couple butter knives come out of the wall. That's not real scary. But the fact that it's like a, you know,
giant, yeah,
pendulum blade.
Yeah. I agree with that. And that's definitely, I think, the scariest thing in the episode, aside from trash compactor wall. I guess dead uncle's
dead
supposed
guy.
To be the most scary zombie uncle. But
I know. And there's always like the lame snakes, spiders. Like, sorry if you're afraid of those things. But those are always the ones that's like, it's like the same thing in Harry Potter. Like, Ron scared of spiders.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, whatever. Harry's afraid of Voldemort, so.
say his name.
yeah, but I do love just the way that this episode is structured, too, that, you know, like, Vink always, and you had this question, and this is a fascinating question, and so I'll ask it of you, even though it's your question. Is Vink evil? Is he a bad guy?
That's what I said. I said, is he a bad guy? I mean, I guess like,
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, he's not a good guy.
He's definitely not he's not a hero. He's not like going around
helping
people.
Because he never saves the day. Like he always like the end of like his episodes, like it always ends up okay. And he's always kind of like, but like, he's never the one that comes to the rescue. So I don't know.
Right. Because you think about the Midnight Madness, it ends with him buying the theater. And he's like,
I feel like he's
films.
Just in it for like the profit, like whatever I feel like whatever he's getting out of it.
Yeah. And it always goes back to the same thing. It's just like Vink always seems like so into what he's doing, but he's got so many different interests that it's like, it's not like, you know, world domination, wahaha villain or anything, but yeah, I mean, he's acting villainous in all of these stories, but, you know, as DJ told us in our interview, you know, when it comes to the Midnight Madness, that's basically the Pied Piper of Hamelin story right there, you know?
Right. And so like, but like, is he making the soup to make the $100 a bowl, or is it just like the thrill of making the soup?
Yeah. Or is it some kind of experiment since we first saw him as a scientist, you know, like is all of this scientific?
That's why
him?
Vink is a far more complex character than Sardo.
That's
all
true,
he
but
does
that doesn't
is
mean
sell.
That he's better than Sardo.
Yeah, it really does.
It's an accent on there. The dough. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know, though. You know, like, I think it doesn't help clarity's sake that Aaron Tager's performances are always just so charming and so fun to watch in these episodes.
I also feel like Vink doesn't take a lot of showers.
No, Vic
he just,
is.
He just always looks like.
Vic's an every other day shower.
Every other. He's like once a week or.
Every other year shower.
He's like a brush my teeth once every 6 weeks kind of guy. But yeah, no, it's interesting because, like, you know, he's never the actual villain. He's like, he sets the villainous
kind of
plan in motion.
That's a good point.
But he's
because
not the actual villain.
That's a good point because Midnight Madness, obviously, Nosferatu is. In the Phantom Cab, you really could say Flynn is. The real monster
and
villain
of that.
He
gives you a chance to get away. I mean, you have to solve the riddle, but
yeah, it's weird. It's just
this one, it's the talisman. It's not him so much.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, mean, he is using it to scare people, but he's not killing people, you know, except maybe at the end, I guess.
I usually, if you can figure a way out of it. Like, that's why this one's weird, because the first one, if you solve the riddle, you're out of it.
Yeah, and in this one, they solve the riddle.
Yeah, second one, the Nosferatu one, if you trap him or defeat him, you win.
Right.
This one, if you fight your fears, I guess you should win, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you would think.
But you don't.
Winner's
maybe he's just tired of being beaten.
Winner's tough, never prosper, yeah. I just think that, like, the episode, like, the scares are fine. You know, I think the scares are fine in it.
Yeah,
but I just think that the way it's structured, the acting is very good, I think.
The Neve idea Campbell, behind it is what makes it good.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, it's philosophically something you can keep thinking about, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I think that would, yeah, like, fear in and of itself is definitely sometimes the thing that, you know, even from a more bigger perspective, you know, fear can lead, you know, to wars, you know, because
fear can cause you to do a whole lot of things.
Yeah, fear can lead to a lot of really bad decisions. And so I think that it's interesting to treat fear as not only a physical manifestation here, but also, you know, like the idea that people will do anything for, you know, that thrill and that taste of something that they don't have, you know, like that's, I think, what the soup metaphor is there. I just think there's a lot of layers to this story that work really well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart. And, like, it's not the scariest story, but it,
no,
in terms of, like, what you're seeing, you're not seeing, you know, like a horrifying ghost or a monster on screen. But yeah, the
absolutely
thought of being, you know, trapped in a room with the thing you fear the most. Yeah, that's
a pretty terrifying,
especially when you get older, because, like, when you're a kid, you know, what are you afraid of? Like, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
losing your allowance or not getting to go to the mall, or, but, you know, as an adult, like, things present themselves, the things you fear as you get older are definitely more threatening, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. So all right, well, let's think about it here. Rating wise, Dangerous Soup, were you sleeping when you first saw it with the lights on or the lights off?
Oh, you know, I probably need a little nightlight.
I think so too, actually.
Maybe a couple cartoons.
I remember the dead guy freaking me out a lot.
Yeah, see, my thing was never, like, lights on or off. Like, I was never scared of having the lights off, but if something I watched scared me, like, then I couldn't directly go to bed afterwards. I would have to watch, like, cartoons or something easy before, like, I would have to watch, like, a couple episodes of Doug or, like, Rugrats or something, you know.
That's
some
pretty good,
some 90s cartoon to fall asleep to, not direct sleeping, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was definitely lights on as well. The dead guy really scared me in this, and I think just, like, the building up of Reed in this episode as this big tough guy, and then seeing him so blatantly scared by these things in the room is kind of, like, just kind of shook me a little as a kid. Just like, geez, man, that guy looks really tough and stuff, you know, with his ponytail. But
he does pull it back into a ponytail.
Very, very nice ponytail.
Second act.
So, yeah, and all of that. And so I think that did just kind of freak me out enough to the point where, I just had to stay with the lights on there. So, I just really like this episode. So this is also the end of season 3, though, Sarah. So just a really, really good end to the season. We ended with, like, 5 to 6 really solid episodes.
Yeah, of course it is. And we were just looking ahead to 4, and it's a really solid season.
Yeah, four is going to be really good. And, yes, as somebody told us or asked us in our last episode, you know, if we were going to take a break. No, we are not taking a break. We are going straight on into season 4. That is going to be where we're going to be going with this, but we can't ever leave the episode without one very special section, Sarah. Spooky shout-outs. This is where, if you write us a review on iTunes or a message on Facebook, hey, we're going to read it. Because you know what? We love you guys. We love you so much. We want your voices to be a part of this, too. Because without you, this doesn't happen. You know? And, you know, unless Gibson and Camden let us, this doesn't happen. So, you know, like, that's just kind of where we're at. So, Sarah, do you have our first spooky shout-out?
I do. I have one from Jess8705.
Okay.
Okay, and this, I can't read the whole title because it cuts off, but it says, in a year full of no, this is a podcast. of yes,
of epically awesome
but
proportions.
It's a 5-star, so yes. Okay, and it says, this is the 90s nostalgia we all need right now. I love listening to Sarah and Jeremy discuss each episode, and my husband and I laugh out loud at much of the commentary, and sadly still debate the leprechaun versus hobo yes! in the intro to this day, having spent an embarrassing amount of time trying to slow down the intro for detailed analysis.
What have us we two, done? What two. Have we started here?
Created a true debate. Oh, last man. Line. Highly recommend to anyone who loved for Snick Nights as a kid.
Nice.
Thank you. That is really nice. That makes us feel great. And
that does.
We're glad we can make you laugh and cause a spirited debate between you and your husband.
I'm telling you, man. This is just... Oh, man. Okay. I can't believe that this... I really can't believe this debate keeps going as much as it does. So I have one more here. This was a Facebook message from Mr. Dean Tookie. Thank you for writing in. He says, listening from the UK... Hey, bloody good day. That's all I'm ever going to do. Yeah. So I'm a bit late to the party. I started listening around March this year and just managed to catch up with the latest episode. I must say that you have the best Are You Afraid of the Dark podcast. None even come close. Jeez, thank you so much, man. You guys are awesome. You have a great relationship and discuss everything that's needed. Please, please continue. And it sucks that everybody hates on Badge. It's my favorite episode. Oh, man.
It's coming soon. We were literally just going through and
yeah, we were.
We were debating over who gets Badge.
Yeah, Badge will be good. And the Setter Wind will get plenty of play here. BTW, I know I'm like nearly a year late, but Sarah is totally right. That doll is a leprechaun. This is bull. This is bull. A hobo, you. Jeremy, really? Anyway, take care, guys. Look forward to future episodes. Dean, I thought we were friends, man.
We are. We're besties. I thought me and Dean are besties.
We're friends.
Now.
All right. Well, we have many more messages, but we are just a little bit out of time with this episode. So please keep sending them in to us. We keep an archive of them, and we're going to do a lot better at getting multiple of those out in the next episodes. But that is going
to
do it.
Yeah, we talked too much, so we'll slow down. We'll do more spookies.
Yes, we'll do some more, yeah. If you don't know, we are part of the Front Row Network of shows on NPRIllinois.org. So if you want to know any more about those shows, Sarah and I appear regularly on a lot of those other shows as well. And you can
not
find
so much
them
me,
there.
More so you.
More so me, you know, but
so many shows.
So many shows.
So
all
many
the shows.
Nights of me just going to bed alone while you podcast for hours. Hours and hours. Me putting the kids to bed alone. I'm a podcast widow.
It's a funny, funny world we
oh,
live in. But if you want to know any more about the Front Row Network, go to the Front Row Network on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or for reviews with a Z on Twitter. Anything else, Sarah, before we say goodbye and bid adieu to season 3?
No, I think I'm
going to
go make a bowl of soup.
Nice. Yeah, a bowl of soup. Yeah, we got that fear tonic right there. It's in the back corner.
I'm going to get something out of
you. You might just take me up to the roof or something. All right, so that is going to do it for this episode of Are You Afraid of the Podcast. I've been Jeremy Gechner.
You've been Jeremy Gechner?
Yes, I've been
Sarah
Baltusevich. There you go. And I declare this meeting of Are You Afraid of the Podcast closed.
Are You Afraid of the Podcast is a special presentation of the Front Row Network of shows. For more information, go to thefrontrowmoviereviews.com, and we'll see you in the dark.